with work deadlines and horrible bosses.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
And your team may be in last place. We can all find comfort in sports, like a signal in the sky.
Oh, come on. You're going to leave me all alone here with less angry Rosie O'Donnell?
They call upon Gwen and Chris with Tony Gwynn Jr.
He probably thinks it's ridiculous that you people think he... I said you people.
What do you mean?
What do you mean, you people? What do you mean? Who are you, Don Cherry?
And Chris Ello.
I just had lunch with Larry Rothschild.
Oh, is that where you were?
Yeah, and he was running late, so...
Gwen and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
For Fernando, it was his 18th home run of the season. 2-1 pitch is hit really well out to deep left center field. He did it again. Fernando Tatis Jr. is fourth leadoff home run of the season and his second in as many games. Padres take a 1-0 lead here in the first inning. This kid is incredible.
And hopefully we get to see that for years and years and years to come. Welcome in to Gwen and Chris, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, 3:04 on the clock. Chris, how you doing today, man?
Much better. Thank you, Tony. And I want to thank everybody for all of the tweets I got last night and all of the emails and the get well wishes from everybody after my thumb surgery. I mean, they just piled up. I mean, all night long, I kept getting texts and tweets from people saying, hey, Chris, feel better.
Showed you love, huh?
You don't believe me, do you?
No, I, oh, no, that didn't
didn't happen. No.
I was actually believing you as you were telling that.
No, but I think a couple people did write to make sure my thumb was going to be all right after surgery Monday, and I got the cast part off today, so feeling a little better, taking steps in the right direction.
Yes, yes. Anytime you get the cast off, that's certainly a step
in
the right
direction.
Your hands a little swollen, but that's normal.
It
that's
is pretty
normal.
Swollen. It's like I feel like I've got one of those cartoon hands right now.
You definitely do. Yeah. You definitely do.
Yeah.
Yes, we hope we get to see a lot more of leadoff homers tagging up from third on short fly balls. We hope we get to see a lot of that, and apparently the Padres do too. According to Kevin Acey, the Padres are opening up or want to open up discussions for an extension with Fernando Tatis Jr. The idea would be to buy out the budding superstar's arbitration years and lock him up into what would otherwise be the first couple years of free agency. So if with Tatis being up all of last year, he would need two more years to be arbitration eligible. So if they get an extension now, it would buy up those years, those 2 years remaining of basically minimum pay.
Right, and actually not pay him minimum
the next 2 years.
Right,
he'd get a raise there.
Right, he'd get a huge raise.
He'd probably be taking a discount somewhere in those arbitration years.
Years 4 and 5.
Year 4, 5, and 6, and then 7, 8. Best case scenario, you buy him out for a couple of those free agent years as well. You're looking, 7-8 year deal there. So,
is he looking at like $100 million? I mean, we're talking nine figures to keep Fernando Tatis here beyond 3 years. Because if you're a Padre fan and you're a Padre owner and you're a Padre organization, you have to be concerned that after his third year, when he's arbitration eligible,
it's going to get tough.
It's going to get, the numbers are going to start getting gigantic. This is exactly why the Padres are thinking and doing this right now, correct?
Yes, I think that's exactly why. I mean,
yeah.
You got to get a head start. I would guess if you are the Padres, the framework for that deal would feature Ronald Acuna out in Atlanta.
Albies.
And, well,
didn't Albies sign one, too?
Albies signed a lesser deal. Acuna will probably be the
The one that they compare him to.
That's the one the Padres will compare him to.
But what we remember about the Acuna contract was that everybody thought the Braves got an unbelievable bargain on that.
Did.
So that's what the Padres are up against. If they say, hey, we will give you exactly what the Atlanta Braves gave Ronald Acuna, then Fernando Tatis's people will probably say, nopey, 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 using your phraseology from one of those opens we had one day. But no, I don't think they'll do it because everybody thought that Acuna settled for much less than he needed to settle for. And so as soon as you hear that, you know that the Padres are probably in a situation where they better offer a little bit more.
That's what Kevin Acey is getting at. He said the Padres believe such a preemptive move is prudent based on Tatis' production last season, not to mention the excitement the rookie infused in the team and the fan base. I got to mention this because last night when Pete Alonso ended up winning that the National League Rookie of the Year award, he was asked about Tatis' style of play. He compared it to a Coke bottle when you shake it up and put Mentos in it.
That's a great
description. Because that's Fernando Tatis.
That's the energy he's bringing.
But nevertheless, though, this is something. And listen, that's exactly what Kevin Acey said in this article. Some say the Padres are seeking a Ronald Acuna type deal. He got with the Braves.
I'm skeptical that Tatis would accept that.
Yeah, I am too. I am too, for sure. So, among other news in Padres baseball, one of the things that is kind of out through Kevin Acey on Twitter is the Padres did interview former Pirates manager Clint Hurdle with the hope he would become the hitting coach.
And you were so upset to hear that he turned them down.
I was not.
No, you weren't. We were talking about this before the show. Tony, now, are you not a Clint Hurdle fan, or is it the situation where you just felt bringing in a former manager to be a hitting coach with a brand new manager? I've never liked that dynamic before.
It's a complicated.
Right.
I felt the same way when Mark was here and Andy was here. It was like you have a guy who wants to be a manager at some point.
Yeah.
And not that he would ever do anything to undercut Andy. It just makes for a weird dynamic trying to change things in a little bit different ways.
So. Yeah. No, I think you're going in the direction that the Padres are going in, which is, you know, fresh faces pretty much at all positions other than, well, Larry Rothschild's not a fresh face. We know that. But
right.
New pitching coach. But I would think bringing in Clint Hurdle would just not be – it just doesn't sound like the right fit.
Right.
So I think it's probably one of these things that's going to be lucky in a lot of ways that Clint Hurdle said, no, I think I'd rather kind of step away from baseball right now and see where the next steps lead me.
Right.
Because I don't know that he would have been the perfect name to be the new hitting coach of the Padres.
Yeah. Plus,
Clint Hurdle didn't hit that good when he played Major League Baseball. Wasn't that good?
His teams have hit, though. I don't know if he wasn't a hitting coach for any of them.
Well, gee, he was manager of the Rockies. You could say I was a good hitting coach if I was manager of the Rockies, too.
Oh, he's a pretty good manager, too. So.
All right.
Anyway, Scrabble late. Hey, Scrabble.
Hi, Scrabble.
How you doing today, man?
Good. How are you?
Great to talk to you, buddy.
Heard
you had a great take yesterday on Colin Kaepernick after I had to go.
Have been the worst take I've ever had on radio.
Bad ones, too. This one was.
You know what?
This one was epic.
Not everybody was fortunate enough to hear that take yesterday, so do you think you could dig it up and play it a little bit later in the show?
I think for my own embarrassment factor, and I don't want the boss to hear it, and so he never lets me on the mic again. But
you can go
973thefansd.com and go to yesterday's hour number 4 Gwynn and Chris podcast.
It was kind of like he ran out of gas mid
argument.
I called myself out for having such a bad take in the middle of my take.
Anyway, you never know what you're going to get on Gwynn and Chris from time to time. We got a jam-packed show today. Bill Centers will join us to talk some more baseball. We got Kirk Morrison to talk a little NFL and some of the Aztecs. Thomas will also join us. And we've been promising this for about a week now, but the preseason NFL awards recap, right? We have a midseason. We want to see where we're at now that we're past midseason at this point.
But, right. But we get a pretty good idea of how our preseason picks look right now.
Right. So we're going to go over that towards the back end of the show. Glad you guys can join us. We're going to step away for a second. When we come back, the new Astros scandal seems to be getting bigger and bigger. More video is surfacing. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about it when we come back.
Pitch on the way. Ground ball right side into the shift to his left. Altuve has it in short right, throws to first, and the Astros are 2017 World Series champions. For the first time ever, the Astros are baseball's best.
Might be for the last time ever. I don't know what's going to happen with this huge scandal that continues to grow and grow and grow. Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. Chris Sello, Tony Gwynn Jr., 319 on a sensational Wednesday afternoon in San Diego on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. And Tony, people are starting to take to calling them now not the Houston Astros anymore, but the Houston Asterisks. I didn't actually come up with that. I'm just repeating what I heard and read. Look, I mean, after winning that World Series in 2017, and it was a fantastic run and a great season and a beautiful, beautifully played World Series, seven-game victory over the Dodgers, etc. But I'm telling you, all of that stuff is getting tainted more and more and more as we go along. Apparently today, more videos have surfaced now of the Astros just flat-out cheating. And we talked about this yesterday. You know, what is baseball going to do? What are they going to be able to do to figure this thing out with the Astros? Because it's pretty clear to me that they got caught. I mean, you know, one of their former players, Mike Fiers, is the guy who brought it all up. But there's so much video to back it up. I mean, these sounds are not being made up.
They're not. Listen, I saw five new videos a day, or four new videos. Three of the four were legit. Like, you could hear the banging. It wasn't off speed, and not all of them result in hits.
No, it doesn't mean you're going to get hit for sure.
But most of them did, and most of them ended up somewhere over the fence. And it's a clear bet. And so, you know, you start when this starts to roll downhill, you get more and more articles. Buster only has one out today, in which he questions the same thing I questioned last night. How in the world can we give this investigation any type of
credence?
Yeah, credence. Good word.
You can't give it any credence if the Astros are
doing
their
own investigation.
Yeah, that's not going to do it.
And then it dawned on me, because remember, the original story was about 2017. Now, it started to make you go back through the playoffs. Remember, I think it was 17, Yankees, Astros.
In the playoffs.
I think it's the series before the World Series, I believe, right?
Right.
They go two games in Houston, Astros get thumped. Yankees get thumped. They go back to New York, the Yankees do the thumping. And actually, the two games in Houston, the first two games, were relatively close. But the ones in New York were not close. I think it was like 8-1,
right.
6-4, and then I can't remember what the third game was. But then they go back to Houston, and they get whooped.
And all of a sudden, the Astros look good again. Yeah, I mean, you've got to start thinking about it. If you're not going to put an asterisk in, let's leave that aside for the moment. Let's just assume that, you know, Major League Baseball does its due diligence here, looks into this story properly, takes the evidence that all of us have already seen, and comes to the conclusion that the Houston Astros organization was cheating. You know, I think you have to put this right up there with some of the great scandals in baseball history. I mean, I honestly do. I was talking with Adam Klug, our program director, earlier today, and he brought up the New Orleans Saints situation of a few years ago when they were being paid to take out Bounty Gate. Sean Payton got suspended for what? 8 games that year? Half a season?
The defensive coordinator got suspended for the entire, indefinitely.
Greg Williams, thank you. He got suspended for the whole year and then didn't get a job for a while. The general manager of the Saints was suspended for a good length of time, if it wasn't for an entire year. I got to believe A.J. Hinch is...
It's up the food chain.
I mean, he's the manager, though. He's going to have to take some of it, and it's going to start there, and it's going to go up from there. GMs and people like that, pitching coaches, maybe even some players, if they can find actual players that were complicit in this, then you're going to have to suspend them, too.
Let me tell you, we'll go back to just last year. Remember the incident in which Cleveland, the Astros placed an employee in the camera well? Of the Indians in that 2000, it kind of caused a little controversy. And I'm going to read you, and the hypocrisy is just hilarious in this situation. I'm going to read you Lunau's quotes from that. He said, "We were playing defense. We were not playing offense."
The GM of the Astros.
GM, yes.
Yeah.
Lunau said after the Indian situation, we wanted to make sure it was a level playing field. We look around to make sure there's nothing suspicious going on. We want to make sure our signs aren't getting stolen.
Yeah, whatever. We want to make sure that our signs aren't getting stolen, but we want to make sure that we are stealing the other team's signs.
That's how it looks right now.
This looks really bad for the Houston Astros, and it's getting worse and worse and worse by the moment. I am honestly, Tony, in my own mind, I am prepared as judge and jury here for the moment. And of course, we're jumping to conclusions because we don't have all of the evidence in. But based on what we have so far, okay, just only based on what we have so far, I am willing to go as far as to punish the Astros in every way possible except to take away their World Series title in 2017. I don't know how I could possibly vacate that, but I could honestly put an asterisk by it if you want me to, and I can certainly start suspending just about everybody in the Astros organization for a long period of time when it comes to the start of next season, because this is something that baseball has to come down very, very hard on if what we're seeing and hearing with our own eyes is true. I mean, it's not like hearsay. Listen, right now. This is not hearsay. This is all actual video proof and evidence backing up everything that Mike Fiers said, backing up Farquhar, the pitcher for the White Sox, what he said. I mean, it's all just backing it up. It's right there in front of everybody's eyes.
It is. When there's smoke, there's a lot. There's usually fire.
Yeah.
And in this case, that quote from Lou Now, the GM for the Astros, has a completely different context now, because he said that in 18. We're finding this out in 19.
I know.
So he has, to me, no plausible deniability in this at all. Like, he knows, at the very least, he knew and just decided to do nothing about it.
At the very least. And A.J. Hinch, at the very least, had to know and decided not doing something about it.
If it's in the tunnel,
there's no question that the manager knew.
And you hear the banging.
On.
Come on now.
If you didn't know what was going on and you were hearing this banging, you'd and you were the
like,
manager
going,
hey, stop banging stuff back there. Right? Wouldn't you? I mean, that would be like, you know, your dad would say, hey, stop banging stuff. Hey, you guys be quiet. We're playing a ball game out here.
If this turns out to be true, just think about some of the scandals that have happened in baseball, right? I think the Shoeless Joe, the Black Sox.
Black Sox is probably going to always be the king.
Okay.
Yeah. Through the World Series, that's pretty much going to take the cake.
Followed by what? Is it the steroid era?
I think steroids, Pete Rose is a possibility, although I think Pete Rose is more of an individual situation.
Right.
I still to this day cannot believe that whether Pete Rose bet on games, Pete Rose did bet on games, but whether or not that ever affected his ability to try and win a game,
right.
I can't believe that. Pete Rose was too much of a competitor to ever try to throw a game. That's why I always put that in a little separate category. But this one here, I mean, flat out cheating and getting caught and having video evidence of it, this is not only bad for the Astros, it's pathetically bad for the game of Major League Baseball, which the last thing any sport needs is to be thought of as a sport that's not on the up and up.
And the crazy part is, and I've been one of these people, Jesse Azuel, being critical of the pitcher's what we perceived as paranoia. You know how many times pitchers step off, tell you, wave it out? It happens a lot more now than it ever has.
Yeah.
But maybe there's a reason why.
Yeah. Maybe they're paranoid because they knew their signs were being stolen.
Maybe they're paranoid because they know that it's happened to them before. And in a major way. I mean, when you go back and look at the clips and you hear the banging on off-speed pitch and you watch Bregman lose a ball up on the train tracks or Springer losing, not to say that these guys couldn't do it without it, because they are clearly top-end talent.
Well, it's the same thing, though, as saying Barry Bonds could have hit home runs without steroids.
Right.
He could have, but
he definitely has.
Right.
But the point is that now there's question marks behind everything, and that's the last thing you want as a player in general. You don't want anybody questioning your skill.
And you don't want anybody questioning the authenticity of Major League Baseball or any sport for
that's
that matter.
That's the thing
that is the one thing that could bring sports down.
Why do you think baseball is still the sport that hasn't even brought up the whole gambling thing? They do everything in their power to protect the logo of MLB, which is why they came down. That's why they look at gambling the way they do.
Yeah.
And to have this happen, I mean, listen, Bud Selig wasn't willing to vacate numbers, statistics. They have the asterisk there. We don't know how Rob Manfred feels about this type of
thing. We don't. But I'm, like I said, I'm willing to go as far as anything but take away their championship. And there's probably some people out there that if all of this turns out to be true, that would be willing to take away their championship in 2017. We'll see just how far this story goes. All right. The National League Cy Young Award has been handed out. We will tell you who won it. Obviously, this guy did not get victimized by the Houston Astros stealing signs as often as everybody else.
He is Houdini!
Because he was getting people out. So we will let you know who won the NL Cy Young Award when we come back. They will announce the AL Cy Young Award a little bit later in the day. Also, Bill Center will join us talking everything Padres, from uniforms to free agents to the 2020 season. Is it win or else for the Padres? Everything Padres coming up with their great historian and former sports writer Bill Center next. I'm Chris Ello. That's Tony Gwynn Jr. Scraby's over there. We've kept him quiet so far. Wish us luck in continuing to do so on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This is breaking news from 97.3 The Fan.
97.3 The Fan. Breaking news is powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. That breaking news. Mets Jacob DeGrom becomes the seventh in the National League to win back-to-back Cy Youngs.
I am stunned. I honestly am. I know he won 11 games this year, which is one more than he won last year when he was the Cy Young Award winner. But in a season where Steven Strasburg won 18 games and had a very similar whip, in a season where Max Scherzer had yet another phenomenal year and struck out 243 batters, in a year where, I mean, you can mention a bunch of other guys, including Hyun-Jin Ryu, who is one of the finalists, I didn't think Jacob DeGrom was going to get it with a 2.43 ERA. I understand why he won it last year because his ERA was so low, Tony. It was 1.6, 1.7, that the fact he only won 10 games, that was able to override that. But this year, winning only 11 games with a 2.43 ERA, which was not even the league-leading number. Ryu had their league-leading total in ERA. I was surprised. I was surprised he won it.
Yeah, 29 of 30 first place votes.
I mean, it wasn't even close.
No.
29 of 30?
Hyun-Jin Ryu received one remaining first place vote.
My goodness. Scherzer didn't get any.
Scherzer did not get any first place votes. But nevertheless, congratulations to Jacob DeGrom and his back-to-back Cy Young
back-to-back. All right. I remember Chris Paddock beating him straight up in one of those great games earlier this season on a Monday night at Petco Park.
He
remember
did. That game? Outdueled
Paddock
him.
Outdueled
that was
DeGrom.
The day
was
where poor Pete Alonso got picked on that day.
That's right. Yeah, that Pete Alonso took the short end of the stick that evening from Chris Paddock.
I want to let everybody know every day, 50% of local college students face food insecurity, but we can make a difference. Area community colleges have food pantries on campus where students can get food in times of need. With your help, we can pack the pantry and help tackle student hunger. Join 97.3 The Fan at the Cal Coast Credit Union at 3485 Marin Road in Oceanside on Saturday, November 16th from 12:30 to 1:30 as we pack the pantry to fight hunger. The first 25 people that make a donation will get two tickets to the 97.3 The Fan night at SeaWorld on December 13th, presented by Sprint.
Beautiful. Is our guest ready?
Good job on stalling, guys. That was amazing.
Tony, you want to read that again? I didn't understand it all.
You guys did a really good job of stalling.
I'm trying to get more and more out of it. I don't know if I got it.
I don't think you can squeeze anything more out of it.
I think we have them.
We should mention that there's even more. We talked about that Astro thing for about 10 minutes. There's even more Astro stuff. I don't want to lay all the Astro stuff on everybody for like a half hour straight, but we're going to get back into that story a little bit later on because there's more guys saying more very damning things about the Houston Astros and their organization.
To me, this is on a whole nother level. We'll get into later on in the show, so hang on. We'll get to it later on, but joining us now on Gwynn and Chris, Bill Center of the Padres. Bill, how are you, my friend?
I'm great, Tony. How are you doing?
We are doing fantastic. I have to get your take on the brand new uniforms. I have to say, I love them.
There's nobody that I would rather ask for fashion
than Bill
advice
Center, right?
Than Bill Center, by the way.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. You've seen my wardrobe.
That's right.
At least I don't wear hoodies, and to cover up, to stay out of the sun in the press box.
The hoodies were the hoodies you're discussing were station issued, Bill. That's why I was wearing them. They were issued by the station. I was just promoting the radio station.
I'll tell you about 97.3 The Fan.
That's right.
Yeah, no. I love them.
You like the unis?
Uniforms. You know, I do. Now, I've been asked, are they my all-time favorite Padres uniforms? I've always been partial to the 84s. I love the orange and brown trims on the all-white home uniforms. I love the solid brown tops on the road uniforms. Now, here you've got the solid, you've got one of your alternates or one of your, of the three, you've got a solid brown top. It's even a richer brown than the 1984s. I love the pinstripes. And Tony, I know your dad loved the pinstripes too.
Yeah.
I also know the one thing that he didn't really like about those uniforms.
What was, I'm sorry?
The orange.
Oh, the orange. Yeah. Listen, when you look at these ones, the orange doesn't really fit with the gold. You know what I'm saying? Like,
No.
Go ahead, Bill.
These uniforms are really perfect for what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the pinstripes. Your dad loved the pinstripes, the brown pinstripes. I know he didn't really like the brown shoes when they had those.
They got so many more options now, you wouldn't even have to go with brown like you used
These
to.
Gwynn right. people are shoe crazy. Let me tell you something, Bill. Put up with it every day with this young man over here.
Well, it starts with the grandfather, right, Tony?
Yeah, yeah. We like our shoes, man.
They do.
But your grandfather was the one who pounded into your dad's head that, you know, you don't have guys in the clubhouse polish your shoes. You polish your own shoes.
He was a stickler for it.
And Tony did not like polishing the brown shoes. So I remember that.
That's interesting. Bill, what are your thoughts? We haven't had a chance to talk with you since the hiring of Jace Tingler, and I was curious as a Padres historian where you think this hire fits and kind of the hierarchy of Padre hires over the years.
You know, Chris, it interests me how so many people have reached a conclusion on Jace Tingler as to how he's going to be. And the honest to God truth is, no one knows.
Right.
Because he's never had a chance. No one knows. And I don't care if that's a military leader or a business leader or a pro sports leader. Until he starts managing, nobody can tell me how this guy is going to be. I don't know. You don't know. We're going to find out. I like his qualifications. I like a lot of the things that he said. And I like the fact that he does speak Spanish. I think that is a major plus. But do we really know? I don't think so.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that, Bill.
We've been trying to talk everybody off the ledge with the same rhetoric,
right,
but I don't know if it's working.
Touche. Bill, I got to ask you, I mean, it's the story really in baseball right now is this Astros story, and it continues to seemingly be more and more coming out. What's your take on this? I mean, I told these guys, sign-stealing happens all the time. Once you start delving into technology is where it crosses the line. What's your thought on this?
I totally agree. And, Tony, the thing that really stuns me about what I've been reading about the Astros and their sign-stealing through technology is they thought they were going to get away with this. I mean, in an age where you've got so many players changing teams, well, anybody with the Astros knows what they're doing. And the second one of those players go to another team, they're going to say, like Mike Friars did, hey, you know what they're doing over there?
Yeah.
And it's going to get out. How do you think you're going to get away with this?
Yeah. Well, most people who commit crimes or think cheat.
They're gonna get away with
always think they're going to get away with it. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it in the first
place.
This
one is on the a high scale.
But this is
of
really arrogant.
Yeah, exactly what it is. Because think about it, Mike Fiers ends up going to another team in the division. And a team that's competitive in the division. And you're looking like, we cannot get these guys. And inside, he knows.
He knows why they can't get them.
We can't get them.
Yeah, that's
right.
For sure.
Well, the second you start doing that, I mean, you're going to have players moving on unless you sign lifetime contracts with everybody who's there. You know, I love the idea of sign stealing. Now, I got to admit that I love how it used to be, even when I was in junior college, as you'd look across the other third base coach and say, hey, I think I picked up their steal sign.
Right. Sure.
That's fine. That's part of the game. But when you start bringing technology in and using long-range lenses and everything else, pardon me. And that's why we've got to this point where you've got three guys standing on the mound with their gloves in the middle of their face hiding what they're saying.
It's true.
I said that.
Because we all think that's overdoing it, which turns out it may not be.
I was just saying, Bill, I've been critical of pitchers during broadcasts about being so paranoid about what sign stealing, and it turns out they may have good reason to be paranoid.
You know, they might have the ability to even listen to those guys behind the gloves. I mean, once you bring technology in it, I think you've crossed the line.
Yeah.
I really think you've crossed the line. I don't have any problem with visual saying, or being even a runner being on second, saying, oh, I think I picked up what the curveball sign is. That's part of the game.
Yeah.
But once you bring technology in, I think you cross the line. And to be perfectly honest, we've seen a lot of things with the Houston Astros this past 2 or 3 months that have really called into question a lot of their practices.
Yes. Well, we're going to start calling them the Houston Asterisks until further notice, Bill.
Whoa.
So you're more than welcome.
I like that.
You're more than welcome to use that on my dime. Hey, Bill, always great catching up with you. Thanks for the commentary on the unis. Thanks for the manager update. We love chatting baseball with you, and we will do so shortly here in the next couple of months. Thanks again for joining us.
Great. And I do love the new unis. I think that this was the way to go, and I really think they did a good job on this one.
Yeah, great.
Right there, Bill Center, Padres historian, former great writer for the San Diego Union-Tribune. And, Bill, I agree with them on the unis, like I said. They stand out. We know which team is which now.
Yeah.
No, Padres are in the highlights. You're going to be able to
tell.
We're
the only ones rocking those colors.
Nobody's going to be rocking those colors. And I don't think anybody's going to be changing to that color anytime soon.
No.
So it's,
you would have had to have some history with it to go to it in the first place.
And to get everybody to be on board with it. All right. We're going to do some Chris versus the fans here shortly. So let me go ahead and give you the phone numbers. 833-288-0973. If you want to play some trivia today, the winner of today's Chris versus the fans contest will win a family 4-pack of movie passes to San Diego's hometown theater, which is Ultrastar Cinema in Mission Valley. So start dialing in right about now. There are a couple of lines available. 833-288-0973 for a little trivia and Chris versus the fans. We'll get to that here in just a couple of seconds. Also coming up on the program today, as Tony mentioned, Kurt Morrison will be joining us later to talk some football. We're also going to have, I think, a fun countdown today. In the wake of my ridiculous thumb surgery, we have decided to come up with our 5 greatest injuries.
Right.
However it is that we decide that is. I got to be honest with you. My thumb injury is only about the 3rd or 4th most embarrassing one for me. I mean, I have done some really embarrassing stuff. So you'll get to hear that a little bit later in the show. And Scraby has too. And I'm going to make him tell some of the stories he told me.
That should be special.
That will be later on in the program. But right now it's time for Chris versus the fans.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself,
howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, here we go.
Here we go.
Rules, Matthew Scraby.
You have to make it through three questions.
Gobble, sure. Gobble.
For everyone out there. That,
gobble,
that
gobble.
You have to make it through three questions. Each question is going to get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you have a chance to move on to the next question. Or you can win if you're on the third question. I don't know why I say it like that, but try to change it up every day, guys.
Yeah, I don't know why you say some of the things you say either. Let's get to our first contestant, Javier in Paradise Hills. Welcome to Gwen and Chris. Thanks for calling in.
How you guys doing?
Hi, Javier.
Here we go. First question. What former NBA player played a genie in the movie Kazam?
Shaquille O'Neal.
Shaq Diesel is correct. Nice work there,
great
Javier.
Great in that movie.
You know why I'm laughing? He's so good in all of his roles. Come on, Shaq has never disappointed.
Here we go. Question number two. What team drafted Zach Greinke with the sixth pick in the 2002 MLB draft?
Zach Greinke. I know he went to the Diamondback. I'm gonna go Royals.
The Royals is correct.
Royals. Javier. Nice job.
Here we go. Last, do we even read what the prizes is today?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
Ultra Star Cinema Movies.
For the Ultra Star Cinema Movie passes, question number three. What city do the Dallas Cowboys actually play in?
I'm going to say Austin, Texas.
Austin, Texas is incorrect.
For the longest time, they played in Irving, Texas. And I almost answered Irving, but I know I'd have been wrong because they have moved to Jerry's World. But I don't know where Jerry's World is. I think it's in Arlington.
Is that what you're going with?
I am.
Sorry, Javier. Chris has stole the tickets from you.
Sorry,
good
Javier.
Good job, Javier.
Good work, Javier.
Why, good job, Javier.
Good job, Chris, too.
Thank you, Scraby.
I mean, whatever.
Let's get to our next contestant, Jose in Chula Vista. Welcome to Gwen and Chris.
Chris eliminates Javier, and Scraby goes, great job, Javier.
he knew Kazam. That's all I care about.
Man. Jose, how you doing
good
today,
job,
man?
Chris.
Thank you, Jose.
Here we go. First question.
All right, let's go.
What team did Jason Garrett win his first Super Bowl with as a player?
God, I don't remember. So I'm going to get the Cowboys.
Well, you're in luck because that guess is absolutely correct. The Cowboys is who he won his first.
I think that was the only team he ever played with.
I think it was.
I don't recall him playing anywhere else.
But. All right. Jose, let's get to question number two. Oh, I like this question. What Cleveland Brown running back made the cover of the Madden video game in 2010?
Oh, my God. 2010? They suck. Jesus. That's a good one. I don't know. I don't even have a guess on that one.
I don't know. Is incorrect. Chris for the steal.
1 year wonder. Peyton Hillis?
Peyton Hillis is the guy.
It's that type of day today, isn't
Sorry,
it?
Sorry, Scraby.
Good job, Jose.
Good work. Let's move to contestant number three.
Well, the one thing you know is if you are on the program today, you're going to get support from Scraby. So that's a good thing.
Andy in Mission Valley. Welcome to Gwen and Chris.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Let's go, Andy.
Nothing much. Let's see if your luck is any better. First question. Who was Michael Strahan's co-host on an ABC morning talk show?
Kelly Ripa.
Nice work. Kelly Ripa is correct. Let's move to question number two.
Who was Kelly Ripa's co-host before Michael Strahan?
Regis.
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 San Diego State grad, right? By the way. San Diego Stater.
During the 1982 Cal-Stanford game, what famously came onto the field too early?
The marching band.
The marching band is correct. One of those individuals got absolutely crushed.
The trumpet player.
The trumpet
just crushed.
All right, Andy. For those movie passes, question number three. Since the year 2000, 16 quarterbacks have won the Heisman Trophy. Who was the last running back to do it? You're on point with these questions.
Mark Ingram.
Mark Ingram is incorrect.
Oh, I thought he had it. And when I don't know the answer, I like when the other people get it, because I'd rather them get it than me have to miss it. Mark Ingram didn't win it that long ago. Now, so this is the question, the last running back to win the Heisman Trophy?
Yes.
Okay. Well, it wasn't Mark Ingram, evidently. I thought you had that, Andy, but I think you're going to win anyway, because it wasn't so Derrick Henry.
So much for you winning that, Andy. Derrick Henry is the correct answer.
Oh, man. I just like threw that in there for no.
Hey, Andy, good work, man.
Hang on.
Really nice job, Andy.
All right, there you go.
Do you want to take this up on the other side?
We're running out of questions.
We got time for a couple more. I mean, we got more questions. Enough for another caller.
We got one more player if we go through fast.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go.
Jamie.
La Mesa.
Let's
welcome
go,
to
Jamie.
Chris.
Hello, guys.
Here we go. First question.
All right.
What longtime Packers head coach was fired last season?
Oh, God. I got his face in my head.
Oh, that's kind of a tough deal. Scary right face. There.
His name is escaping me. I know he's got a big fat head, though.
The big fat head coach.
The big fat head Mike McCarthy.
Mike McCarthy is the correct answer. Jamie, thanks for competing. We're going to have to continue this on the other side.
Or do you want me to throw in a trivia question right now?
Do the trivia question.
All right, stay online. If you're online right now, Thomas will go to you first and give you the opportunity to win. The question is, for the movie passes, who holds the all-time Chicago Bulls record for most three-point shots made in a single quarter?
There you have it. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Colin Kaepernick got some more discussion involving his tryout. Gwen and Chris, the number one sports station on 97.3, The Fan.